today's scripture. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Only keep on believing." Mark 5:36. When you receive negative reports that are true, don't deny them and act as though they don't exist, but also don't dwell on them. Don't let them consume you to where that's all you think and talk about as a couple. Learn to put things in perspective. In today's scripture, while Jesus was on his way to pray for a very sick girl, people from her house came and said, "Tell Jesus it's too late. She's already dead." Jesus overheard the negative report, but he ignored it. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't get discouraged, turn around, and go back home. He also didn't deny that the girl was dead. But he knew people didn't have the final say. God has the final say. Sometime in order to stay in faith, you have to do as Jesus did and ignore the negative report. You have to ignore what somebody said about you and what your own thoughts are telling you. There will be times when it feels as though every voice is telling you, you can't do it. It's not going to work out. It may be the voices of people around you or just your own thoughts trying to discourage you. You have to choose to ignore it and choose to believe a better report. A prayer for today. Father, we praise you that no matter what happens in our lives, you have the final say. Thank you that we can stay in faith and choose to not dwell on the negative reports. We believe that as we get our thoughts in agreement with your word, that we shall overcome in Jesus' name. Bloom where you're planted. Today's scripture. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Through an opening in the woods, as far as one could see, there were acres of dead, dried up, brown, ugly weeds. And blooming right in the middle of the weeds, there was one beautiful flower, so bright, so colorful, so refreshing. That's what God wants us to do as couples. Just bloom where we're planted. Too many people are negative and discouraged because they don't like their jobs, their co-workers, or where they live. If they have to work late, it sours their day. They are always fighting against something. They are always looking for a different house in a new neighborhood. If you live and work in the midst of weeds, that doesn't have to stop you from blooming, but you'll have to learn that God is more interested in changing you than changing your circumstances. As long as you're sour at work, discouraged because the two of you can't seem to agree on something, upset because the business isn't growing, that attitude will keep you right where you are. If you want to see change, you cannot wait until everything becomes better before you decide to have a good attitude. The two of you have to be the best you can right where you are. When you bloom where you're planted, you're sowing a seed for God to do something new. A prayer for today. Father, we praise you that our hopes are rooted in you. Even when we don't understand our circumstances, we know that you are working things out for our good. Help us to bloom where we are planted and to be the best we can be at all times as a testimony to you in Jesus' name. The voice of faith. Today's scripture. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:23. In your lives, there are always two voices competing for your attention, the voice of faith and the voice of defeat. You'll hear one voice piping in, "You can't possibly raise that amount of money." You'll be tempted to worry, to be negative, to complain. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear the voice of faith saying, "God has a way. Favor is coming. Breakthroughs are coming." One voice will point out that you don't have what it takes. The other voice is clear and matter of fact. You are well able. You can do all things through Christ. Now here's the beauty. The two of you get to choose which voice comes to life. The way you do it is by what you speak. When you verbalize that thought, you're giving it the right to come to pass. If you say, "We'll never overcome this problem," You are choosing the wrong voice. You have to get into agreement with God. The other voice may seem louder, but you take away all its power by choosing the voice of faith. You have to dig your heels in and say, we're not giving life to any more defeat. No more speaking mediocrity, fear, or doubt. We're choosing the voice of faith. We're strong, healthy, and blessed. We are victors and not victims. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for your loving kindness. We humbly submit our thoughts and words to you. Show us when we speak words of doubt, discouragement, and negativity so we can change. Help us to give our faith voice by speaking your word daily in Jesus' name. Running over. Today's scripture. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Luke 6:38. In the book of Acts, when Peter and John walked by a crippled man at the temple, he looked up expecting to receive a gift of money. Peter said, I can give you something better. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Peter took him by the hand, and as he did, the man's legs were completely healed. The man only expected a few coins, but God did something extraordinary. Like this man, you may be expecting the ordinary. You're going through the routine of life, being your best with what you have as a couple. Where you are looks like that's the way it will always be. But God is saying, I'm about to exceed your expectations and thrust you to a new level. Good breaks are about to find you. You don't have to ask for it. You weren't expecting it. It's just the goodness of God. The scripture talks about how, as we give, we'll be blessed in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You're about to come into those running over blessings with resources, creativity, strength, health, and joy. God is a running over God. He's not a get by God. He's a more than enough God. He has ways to bless you that you've never thought or expected. Just dare to believe. A prayer for today. Father, we praise you for being a God of infinite grace who always exceeds our expectations. Thank you that as we give freely of ourselves, you will bless us to the point of overflowing. We dare to believe that you are the more than enough God in Jesus' name. Not knowing. Today's scripture. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11:8. God told Abraham to pack up his household and head out to a land that God was going to give him. The only problem was God didn't give him any details. It's easy to imagine all these questions Sarah asked, concluding with, are you sure that God told you this? God doesn't give you a blueprint for your whole life together. If you had all the details of what he wants you to do and how it will work out, you wouldn't need any faith. He's going to send you out not knowing everything. To step into the unknown takes boldness. It's not always going to make sense. Other people may try to talk you out of it. Your thoughts will ask you, what if it doesn't work out? The psalmist said, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. If you take that step, not knowing all the details, but trusting that God knows what he's doing, then each step of the way there will be provision, favor, and protection. Yes, it's uncomfortable not knowing the details, and yes, you have to stretch, to pray, and to trust. But every step, you'll not only have God's blessing, you'll also be growing and getting stronger together. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that you have a blueprint for our life together, and that we need not fear the unknown. We ask you to make clear the next step we should take, and we declare that we will take it in Jesus' name. His masterpieces. Today's scripture. For we are God's masterpieces, He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2:10. Psychologists say our self-worth is based upon what we believe the most important people in our lives think of us, a parent, a spouse, a friend, or a mentor. The problem is that sooner or later, people say something that cuts like a knife and brings heartache and pain. Or they show by their actions that we're not really that important. If we're receiving our value and worth only from those who hurt us, we'll likely feel inferior, insecure, and less valuable over time. The key to gaining a true sense of value is to let your Heavenly Father be the most important person in your lives. If you will learn to listen to what He says about you, you'll feel accepted, approved, redeemed, forgiven, confident, and secure. You will feel extremely valuable, and that's exactly the way God wants you to be. The Apostle Paul says, "You are God's masterpiece. You've been custom made, one of a kind. You're not average or ordinary. God created you in His very own image. He looks right at you and says, 'There's my masterpiece. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's what brings the most joy to my heart.' And that is exactly how we should view and treat each other." A prayer for today. Father, we praise you because you have made us. There can be nothing ordinary about us. Thank you that we are your children and created in your image. We believe and declare that we are your masterpieces, designed by you on purpose, just the way we are, in Jesus' name. All is well. Today's scripture. Let your roots grow deep into the Lord and draw up nourishment from him. Colossians 2:7. 2 Kings 4 records the story of a mother whose little boy was suddenly taken ill and tragically died in her arms. Yet, even when it looked unbearable, she knew that unexpected trouble wasn't a surprise to God. She remained steadfast and immovable in her faith and immediately set out to get her friend the prophet Elisha. Twice in the middle of this calamity, she was asked if her child was well, and she answered, "All is well." Despite how she felt and what the circumstances looked like, she knew that God could make a way where she didn't see a way. Elisha went and prayed for the little boy, and he miraculously came back to life. We all face unexpected challenges as couples. The loss of a loved one, a personal failure, a sudden layoff, a sickness. It's easy to get overwhelmed. But rather than complain and talk about how unfair it was, go deeper and instead have a report of faith. All is well. God is in control. Then, because you have deep roots, even when you may have panicked in the past, you'll feel the peace from God that surpasses understanding. You'll have the strength to endure what should have taken you out. You aren't rooted in your circumstances. You are rooted in the Most High God, because He never changes. You can be immovable. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for your love and goodness in our lives. Thank you that you see every unexpected and uncertain circumstance we will ever face together. We declare that our peace and strength are in you and that our roots are firmly set in you, in Jesus' name. We will say today's scripture. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 91:2. The psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, and in the next verse he adds, He will deliver me. Notice the connection. I will say, and He will do. It doesn't say, I believe He is my refuge. The psalmist spoke it out. The Lord is my refuge. Notice what happened. God became his refuge and strength. God was saying in effect, if you're bold enough to speak it, I'm bold enough to do it. When we were trying to acquire the Compaq Center, we prayed about it together, believed that it would happen, and then we took the most important step and declared that it was ours. It became a part of our everyday conversation. When we renovate it, when we have the grand opening, we declared it and God did it. What are the two of you saying of the Lord? Are you declaring victory over your lives, over your family, over your careers? Nothing happens until you speak. You need to make some declarations of faith. Whatever God has put in your hearts, declare that it will come to pass. When you say of the Lord, "You're our healer, our waymaker, our restorer, our vindicator, our health, our peace, our victory," God will show up and do more than you can ask or think. A prayer for today. Father, praise you for your supernatural strength in our life. Thank you for your word that is refreshing water to our souls. You are our refuge and strength. We choose to have an attitude of faith and expectancy and to agree to say what you say about us. In Jesus' name. We declare that we will live as healers. We are sensitive to the needs around us. We will lift the fallen, restore the broken, and encourage the discouraged. We are full of compassion and kindness. We don't just look for a miracle. We will become someone's miracle by showing God's love and mercy everywhere we go. Your mountain. Today's scripture. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Joshua 14:12. When Caleb was 85 years old, 40 years after the negative report of the other 10 spies had kept him and the Israelites out of the promised land, he wasn't sitting around feeling sorry for himself and saying, "The others kept me out. I was so close to my destiny." No, he went back to the same mountain where three giants still lived, the place the others refused to go, and he said, "God, give me this mountain." There were many other mountains with less opposition, but Caleb said, "I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. That mountain is the dream that's been burning in me for all of those years." 40 years after the dream was given, he conquered the mountain that God promised him. Have the two of you allowed any dreams to get buried in you? At one time, you thought you could do something great, but you had some bad breaks. You have a good excuse to settle. Nobody would blame you if you did. But God sent us to light the fire inside you. The dream is still alive. God is saying to you what he said to Caleb, "Go back and try again. This is your time. Your destiny is calling out to you. Stir up your gifts and go after what I put in your hearts." A prayer for today. Father, thank you that whether your promise is fulfilled in our lives today or years from now, you will bring it to pass in your perfect time. Thank you that we too can declare that every giant, every obstacle that stands in our way will be conquered in Jesus' name. Serving others. Today's scripture. Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started." John 4:34. Part of the reason God brought you together is to make the lives of others better. Someone needs what you have, your love, your smiles, your encouragements, and your gifts. When you serve others, you'll feel a satisfaction, peace, a joy, a strength, and a fulfillment together that only God can give. The scripture tells a story about the disciples' surprise when they found Jesus sitting beside a well, totally refreshed. When they had left him, he was tired and hungry after traveling a long way to Samaria. But in the meantime, he met a woman and had given her life a new beginning. Jesus explained the secret to his strength. "I am fed by doing what God wants me to do. My strength, peace, joy, and satisfaction come when I serve others." When you do the will of your Father, you will feel energized, stronger, and refreshed. You may volunteer in your community or get up early on Sunday and serve in the children's ministry. You'd think you would leave tired, but when you help others, you get replenished. Strength, joy, energy, peace, and healing come to those who serve. God re-energizes and refreshes you, so at the end of the day, you aren't down, you are up. God pays you back. a prayer for today. Father, we praise you that you brought us together to help make the lives of others better. Thank you that we have something that someone else needs and that we can follow Jesus' example as a servant attitude. We declare that our food is to do your will in Jesus' name. Remember well. Today's scripture. But do not be afraid of the stronger nations. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Deuteronomy 7:18. The Israelites had just come out of slavery and were up against huge armies. They had no military training or weapons and were just trying to survive in the desert. Headed toward the promised land, they didn't know how they could possibly overcome their enemies. But God was saying to them, when it looks impossible, the way to stay encouraged is to remember what I've done in the past. As with the Israelites, we have seen with our own eyes those times when God made a way. When you face tough times, as a couple and your dreams look impossible, just remember, go back and replay your victories. Relive the times when you thought you were stuck, but God opened a door. Remember how he put you at the right place at the right time, and you met each other and fell in love. Remember how he spared your lives from that accident. If you're going to overcome obstacles, if you're going to reach your best life together, you have to learn to remember. When you're constantly thinking about God's goodness, how he's protected, vindicated, and promoted you, not only will faith rise in your hearts, but that's the attitude of expectancy that allows God to do great things. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for the history we have with you and for the miracles you have shown in our lives. Thank you that we can remember the victories you've given us and the times when you made a way. We believe that you will continue to do great things in Jesus' name. Amen. Leave it behind. Today's scripture. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it, let it go. Mark 11:25. Jesus was talking about what we should do when someone does us wrong. Notice the principle of forgiveness. Drop the matter. Leave it and let it go. It's true for every relationship you have, and especially for your marriage. It's easy to get upset and be offended, but try a different approach. Drop it, leave it, and let it go. Don't spend another day being angry or bitter. You're not hurting the other person. You're poisoning yourself. The reason that Jesus says to leave it is that you may drop it at first, but tomorrow when you think about what was said or done, you'll want to pick up the hurt again. Some people keep picking up the same offense for years. It's not a bag they carry anymore. It's a part of who they are. You have to leave it. What was done might not have been fair or kind, but God is a God of justice. He'll make your wrongs right. When you leave it, you're saying, God, we trust you to be our vindicator and make it right. We're leaving that offense with you. Your relationship is too important to go through the day weighed down by offenses, bitterness, guilt, and anger. Make the decision not to only drop it, but to leave it. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that we can forgive and release each other from past offenses and hurts. Thank you that we can let go of whatever it is, knowing you will make things right. Thank you that we can drop the weights that hold us down and leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name. Who's your father? Today's scripture. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. When you gave your lives to Christ, the scripture says you were born into a new family. Now imagine that somehow we could take a sample DNA from your heavenly Father, then a sample DNA from you, and run all the tests. The good news is that it would come back a perfect match. You are God's children. Given your royal DNA, Don't go around thinking that you're average. We could never accomplish our dreams or get out of debt. Are you kidding? Your Father created worlds. There's nothing too much for you. You can overcome that sickness, build and support that orphanage, and take your family to a new level. Why? Because of who your Father is. Now, when negative thoughts intrude, just go back and check your spiritual birth certificate. Remind yourself of who you are, and just simply reply out loud, "Let's verify what's in our DNA from God's Word." Are we supposed to live average, lonely, and struggling? No. It says God's favor surrounds us like a shield. It declares no weapon formed against us will prosper. It says we will lend and not borrow. Goodness and mercy are following us. Good breaks chasing us down. That's what's in your DNA. Keep reminding yourself of who you are. A prayer for today. Father, we praise you for the great love you have lavished upon us, that we should be called your children and have royalty in our blood. Help us to remember who we are. We declare there is nothing too much for us because you are our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Connected. Today's scripture. How beautiful you are, my darling. How handsome you are, my beloved. Songs of Solomon 1:15-16. Your relationship is precious, a treasure from heaven, and you should handle it carefully, always looking for ways to build bridges to each other's hearts. The Apostle Paul prayed that our love would abound and grow in knowledge and depth of insight, and that applies especially to our love as a couple. That tells us that we cannot put our love on autopilot. If we assume our spouse will know that we love them, our relationship will not grow or be as fruitful as it was intended to be. That's why it's so important to make every effort to keep strong connections. Several years ago, when we assumed leadership at the ministry, our lives became fuller and more complicated. Oftentimes, we found ourselves moving in different directions, so we had to make an extra effort to connect with each other. We decided to acknowledge each other every time we pass. Sometimes we high-five, sometimes it's a quick, "I love you," or a kiss on the lips. Leaving sweet notes around the house is another way to keep connections. It's not so important how we connect, but it is important that we connect. It takes time and effort to maintain the connections in our relationship. Take the time to regularly put everything else on hold for moments while you connect with loving words and touches. Keep your connection strong, and you'll keep your hearts moving in the same direction. A prayer for today. Father, help us to be sensitive to each other and show us how to stay connected. We declare that we will take the time to keep our relationship strong in Jesus' name. How big God is. Today's scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Proverbs 18:21. Our words have tremendous power and are like seeds. By speaking them aloud, they are planted in our subconscious minds, take root, grow, and produce fruit of the same kind. Whether we speak positive or negative words, we will reap exactly what we sow in our relationships. We can't speak words of defeat and failure to each other and expect to live in victory. You create an environment for either good or evil with your words, and you live in the world you've created. If you're always murmuring, complaining, and talking about how badly life is treating you, you're going to live in a pretty miserable world. However, God wants us to use our words to change our negative situations. The scripture clearly tells us to speak to our mountains. Maybe your mountain is a sickness, or a trouble in your relationship, or a floundering business. Whatever your mountain is, you must do more than pray about it. You must speak to that obstacle. The scripture says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Start calling yourself healed, happy, whole, blessed, and prosperous. God is a miracle-working God. Stop talking to God about how big your mountains are and start talking to your mountains about how big your God is. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for the tremendous power that you give our words to change our lives. We choose to speak words of life to each other and over ourselves and our future. We declare that you are greater than any mountain we face. In Jesus' name. Be imitators of Christ. Today's scripture. Therefore become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Ephesians 5:1. The scripture tells us to be imitators of Christ. His life should be our example as individuals and as a couple. If we are going to be like Jesus, this means that we're going to have some people come against us, people who talk and try to make us look bad. We're going to be misunderstood and criticized. We're going to have a Garden of Gethsemane where we feel alone and abandoned. This is why many couples get bitter and sour. They let excuses hold them back, such as, "Look at what happened to us. These people did us wrong." It's interesting that when Judas came to betray Jesus, even though Jesus already knew it, he said to Judas, "Friend, what are you here for?" Jesus still called him friend. His attitude was, "I won't let what you're about to do steal my joy. My Father has the final say, and in the end, I'm going to come out wearing the victor's crown." When you go through these times that seem unfair, if we'll do like Jesus and not get bitter, but trust God to work it out for our good, it won't get the best of us. At some point, we too will be wearing the victor's crown and move into a new level of our destiny together. A prayer for today. Father, we love you for calling us to become imitators of Jesus. When we go through unfair things, we thank you that we can copy his example and trust that you will work it out for our good. We believe that we will come out of it wearing the victor's crown in Jesus' name. We declare we will put actions behind our faith. We will not be passive or indifferent. We will demonstrate our faith by taking bold steps to move towards what God has put in our hearts. Our faith will not be hidden. It will be seen. We know that when God sees our faith, he will show up and do amazing things. 100-fold harvest. Today's scripture. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. Genesis 26:12. During a great famine in the land, Isaac was about to move to Egypt, but God said, "No, stay where you are among the Philistines. I'm blessing you right here." So Isaac obeyed God's command and planted his fields. The Philistines ridiculed him for planting grain during the famine, but Isaac, whose name means laughter, stayed in peace. Several months later, his critics were amazed to see his 100-fold harvest, but Isaac knew God had blessed him. At some point, you may be dealing with critics, backbiters, those who are jealous and who say you'll never succeed. But you don't have to leave in order to be blessed as a couple. God wants to bless you right where you are. Part of his vindication is promoting you so the opposition can see it. Your attitude should be, "They may be laughing now, but this challenge is preparing the way for God to promote us." Let us assure you that God will make sure they see you promoted, honored, and accomplished. Let God right your wrongs. If you let him do the avenging, you will always come out better. He will use it to thrust you forward. God is faithful. In the end, you will have the last laugh. He will bring justice into your lives. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for giving us your promise to meditate upon and for the promise to bless us right where we are. We believe that you will multiply us even in the midst of famine. We receive your peace and rest, knowing that you will bring justice into our lives. In Jesus' name. Wonderfully made. Today's scripture. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Psalm 139:14. When God created you, he went to great lengths to make you exactly as he wanted. You didn't accidentally get your personality, your height, your looks, or your gifts. God designed you on purpose to be the way you are. You have what you need to fulfill your destiny. If you needed to be different in any way, God would have made you that way. You have to be confident in who God made you to be. When he created you, he stepped back and stamped his "Made by Almighty God" approval on you. How many of us are bold enough to say, as David did, "I'm amazing. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made"? Those thoughts never enter into most people's minds. They're too busy putting themselves down, focusing on their flaws, comparing themselves to others they think are better. Your Creator says, "You're amazing. You're my most prized possessions. You're masterpieces." Now it's up to you to get into agreement with God. The recording that should be playing in your mind all day long is, "We are valuable. We are masterpieces. We are children of the Most High God." Could it be this is what's holding you back? Your recordings are negative? Don't be against yourself. Change your recording. Start seeing yourself as the masterpieces God created you to be. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that we didn't accidentally get our personalities, our looks, or our gifts. Thank you that we are your masterpieces, and that's what you have declared about us. We boldly declare that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in Jesus' name. Burst into song. Today's scripture. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Isaiah 54:1. Too often we think, when we see God's promises, we'll sing and thank him. But that's backward. You have to sing first. Notice that Isaiah wasn't writing this scripture to women who had been blessed with a promised child. It's a promise written to people who are waiting for the promise, believing for the healing, hoping for the child to come home. What are you supposed to do when you're barren? Complain and get discouraged? No, Isaiah said, sing, burst into song. Here's the key. Praise is the birth position. The scripture says, God inhabits the praises of his people. Thanking God is what causes the promise to come to pass. When you start singing, we can imagine God saying to the angels, "What's that sound I'm hearing?" Most people would be complaining, but they're thanking me that the answer is on the way. They're singing about the victory before they've seen the victory. Angels go to work and bring that dream to pass. When you kick into praise and say, "Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives, for your favor, for your new levels, for your new opportunities," that's getting into the birth position. If you'll live with an attitude of praise, you'll give birth to everything God has put in your hearts. A prayer for today. Father, you alone are worthy of our praise, and we come to you with our hearts full of praise. Thank you that you inhabit our praise, that you are here with us now and in all the circumstances of our lives. We choose to live with an attitude of praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Embrace the change. Today's scripture. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. Shall the clay say to the potter, "What are you doing?" Isaiah 45:9. Sometimes God will stir us out of our comfortable situations and push us into situations that force us to stretch our faith and enter into a new season as a couple. It may be uncomfortable, but God loves you too much to let you get stagnant. You may be in a perfectly fine situation for years, but just as he opened that door, all of a sudden, he closes it. Nothing happens by accident. God is directing each of your steps. That means if a friend does you wrong, if you go through a setback, if you lose someone, or if your workplace changes, you can either embrace that change and God will use it to take you higher, or you can resist it and end up becoming stagnant and settling for mediocrity. Stay open for change. It may be negative on the surface, but remember that God would not allow it if he didn't have a purpose for it. It's easy to become negative or bitter. God, why is this happening? We thought we had your favor. But a much better approach is to just stay open and know that God is still in control. If you will embrace that change, the winds that you thought would defeat you will actually push you into your divine destiny. A prayer for today. Father, we love you for being our maker. You are the potter, and we are glad to be the clay. Thank you that you are behind the changes in our lives, and you are working them in our behalf. We choose to put our trust in you alone and to embrace the changes in Jesus' name. Blessed indeed. Today's scripture. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." 1 Chronicles 4:10. The name Jabez literally means pain, sorrow, suffering. Every time someone said, "Hello, Jabez," they were saying, "Hello, sorrow. Hello, pain." They were prophesying defeat and failure. Can you imagine how he could have let that make him feel inferior and insecure? But despite what people labeled him, despite the expectancy that he would live depressed and defeated, he had the boldness to ask big, that God would bless him and enlarge his territories. He was saying, "God, let me see abundance. Let me see more of your favor." And God blessed him indeed. Like Jabez, you may have plenty of reasons to settle where you are. What you didn't get, what people said, how impossible it looks. The odds may be against you as a couple, but the good news is that God is for you. He knows how to make up for what you didn't get. He can thrust you further than you ever imagined, but you have to pray bold prayers. Ask in spite of what the circumstances look like and what people are telling you. Ask in spite of what the enemy keeps whispering in your ears. If you are going to beat the odds, stand out in the crowd, and reach your best life together, you have to learn this principle of asking big. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that when the odds are against us, you are for us. Thank you that nothing and no one is more powerful than you, and that we can dare to pray bold prayers. We believe you are blessing us as you did Jabez and enlarging our territory. In Jesus' name. When the pressure's on. Today's scripture. "I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of the world, Satan, is coming." John 14:30. Toward the end of Jesus' life, he knew he was coming into his most difficult season. He knew he would be betrayed, arrested, and crucified on the cross. He realized that he was going to be under incredible pressure. So he told his disciples, "I've already made up my mind that I'm not going to be talking much more with you." He was saying, "I'm going to watch my words carefully. I'm not going to complain when I'm betrayed or argue with the soldiers or be disrespectful to my accusers." When you face situations where it's stressful for you as a couple, pressured situations where you're going to be tempted to say things you shouldn't, you need to make up your mind ahead of time that you're going to watch your words carefully. If Jesus, the Son of God, who has all power, said, "I'm not going to talk much in this pressured situation," how much more should we be careful about what we say in pressured times? You need to make up your minds. We're not going to say everything we feel. We're going to be extra careful. We're going to keep our cool and not open the door to strife, arguing, and contention. All through the day, say, Lord, thank you for keeping our lips sealed. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that your hand of protection is upon our lives and that you are watching over us. We choose to watch our words carefully when stress and pressure come against us. We believe that you will help us keep the door to strife shut, helping us to know when to keep our lips sealed. In Jesus' name. Always give thanks. Today's scripture. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. David spent years in the lonely shepherd's field taking care of his father's sheep. What's interesting is that he had already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. David could have thought, God, you promised me great things. What am I doing stuck out here? But David knew that God was in control, so he just kept being his best, going to work with a good attitude, grateful for where he was. Because he was content in the shepherd's field, he made it to the throne. He passed that test. You have to train your mind to see the good, to be grateful for what you have. Life will go so much better if you will be content in each season. Content when you have a lot and content when you don't. Content whether your children are in diapers or whether they're in college. Content whether you're in maintenance or management. You have the grace you need to enjoy each season. If your dreams are not coming to pass, that's a test. Will you choose to enjoy that season and not just endure it? Thinking, God, when is this ever going to change? Maybe it's going to change when you change. You have to be satisfied with where God has you right now. A prayer for today. Father, we come to you with thanksgiving for all the circumstances in our lives. Help us to keep the right perspective on what is going on, to always see the good, and to be grateful for what we have now. We choose to enjoy the season we are in and not just endure it. In Jesus' name. Pregnant with possibility. Today's scripture. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. Psalm 7 says the ungodly are pregnant with trouble. The good news is that that's not you. You are the righteous. You are not pregnant with trouble, with bad breaks, sickness, or lack. You are pregnant with favor, with talent, with victory. All through the day, keep saying, Lord, we thank you that we're pregnant with your promises, that we will give birth to everything you put in us. It may not look in the natural as though anything is changing, but you choose to believe that conception has occurred. In God's perfect timing, you're going to give birth to the promises. Your family may be struggling with dysfunction in your home. Don't live worried. You are pregnant with restoration, with the breakthrough. Maybe business is slow, but you can feel something kicking on the inside, something saying, you are the head and not the tail. Whatever you touch will prosper and succeed. Realize that you are pregnant with possibility. Quit telling yourself that you can never get ahead, that you don't have enough of this or enough of that. You are pregnant with success, with ideas, with your destiny. You're going to give birth to what God has put in you. What God started, he will finish. A prayer for today. Father, thank you for all the potential you have placed within the two of us, all the gifts, talents, and ideas. Thank you that the seed has taken root in our lives and is growing. We declare that in your perfect timing, we will give birth to what you have put in us, in Jesus' name. We declare breakthroughs are coming in our lives, sudden bursts of God's goodness. Not a trickle, not a stream, but a flood of God's power, a flood of healing, a flood of wisdom, a flood of favor. We are breakthrough people, and we choose to live breakthrough-minded. We are expecting God to overwhelm us with His goodness and amaze us with His favor. Space for the good things. Today's scripture. The accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Revelation 12:10. The enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. He'll remind you of everything you've ever done wrong. It's easy to live in regret, thinking we should have raised our children better. We should have saved more for retirement and been more disciplined in going to church. Don't go through life looking in your rearview mirror, being down on yourself. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do something about the future. The moment you ask God to forgive you, He forgave you. Why don't you forgive yourself and empty out all the guilt? Turn off the accusing voices that are trying to deceive you into living with condemnation. If you are giving any space to guilt, to regret, to being down on yourself, that's too much. You need that space for the good things God has for you as a couple. His grace, mercy, and favor. None of us deserve to be blessed. That's what mercy is all about. Your sins have already been paid for and forgiven. You don't have to pay God back. When you fall, get back up. When the accuser says, "Look at the two of you, you blew it again," just answer, "We're not perfect, but we're forgiven and we're moving forward." Don't let guilt poison your future together. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that includes us. Thank you that the enemy has no power over our lives. We declare that we're not perfect, but we're forgiven and we're moving forward in victory. In Jesus' name. Keep the door shut. Today's scripture. Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Matthew 12:25. Many years ago, our family went for a bike ride. Things hadn't gone my way that day, and I was aggravated by some little thing Victoria had done that I chose to magnify and let sour me. I knew it was wrong, but the flesh likes to have its way. I remember thinking, she aggravated me, I'm miserable, and I'm going to make her miserable. I opened the door to the enemy. We were riding on a paved bike trail and supposedly having fun, but I was wrecking it by the tension I created. Then suddenly, another biker came down the trail full speed, and when our son Jonathan looked up at him, he drove his bike right into the man's path. They had a huge head-on collision. Jonathan went flying off his bike, the man tumbling over the grass. I ran over as fast as I could, thinking Jonathan must have broken his arm or leg. Thankfully, he and the man had only scrapes and bruises. As we walked back to the car, I felt an inner impression saying, "Joel, this could have all been avoided if you would have kept the strife out." The scripture says that where there's strife, there's going to be unnecessary trouble. Don't be stubborn as I was. Don't open the door to trouble. A prayer for today. Father, we have no excuse for those times when we blew it in our relationship. Thank you that there is always forgiveness and restoration through the shed blood of Jesus. We believe that you have the power to help us shut any doors that brings us trouble in Jesus' name. A new song. Today's scripture. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Psalm 40:2-3. The Apostle Paul said, "Do all things without complaining." It's easy to complain. There's always some reason to complain about your boss, about the traffic, about each other. We create much of our own unhappiness by how we respond to negative things, how we approach life. Here's the key. When you complain, you remain, but when you praise, you'll be raised. When you have this new song in your heart, you'll see more of His favor. When you develop a habit of always thinking about God's goodness, seeing the best, singing a hymn of praise, you'll have joy despite what's happening around you. David didn't say that God gave him a song of, "I can't believe this is happening. You should see the hardships I've endured and the people who have done me wrong." No, it was a song of praise and thanksgiving in his heart. You might have been through some difficulties together, but you have to start making a new melody in your heart. Start thanking God that new doors are opening and that your best days are still ahead. If you get your song back, you'll start feeling the joy bubbling up. You'll get your passion back, and you'll see your dreams start coming to life. A prayer for today. Father, we worship you because you are worthy, Almighty God. Thank you that you put a new song in our hearts that lifts us no matter what is happening around us. We choose to shut the door of complaining and declare that our best days are still ahead in Jesus' name. Different gifts. Today's scripture. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Romans 12:6. One of the best things we've ever learned is to be comfortable with who God made us to be and the gifts He's given us. You don't have to have great gifts for God to use you in a great way. Did you know that the gift that put David on the throne wasn't his leadership skills, his dynamic personality, or his ability to write and play music? It was his gift to be a sharp shooter with a slingshot. He could have thought, "Big deal, this is not going to get me anywhere." But it was that seemingly insignificant gift that enabled him to defeat Goliath and eventually put David on the throne. The gifts that God has given you may seem insignificant compared to other people you know, but there's something God has given you that's unique, something that will cause you to leave your mark on this generation. That slingshot, your gift, may seem ordinary, but it's not so much what you have, it's the anointing that God puts on it. When God breathes on it, you'll defeat a giant twice your size. You'll be promoted beyond your talent. You'll go places you weren't qualified. You weren't next in line, but suddenly a door opened and the dream came to pass. A prayer for today. Father, we love you and worship you with all of our hearts. Thank you that we can be the best we can be with what we have, and you will take care of the rest. We believe that as we walk in your anointing, that our gifts and talents will come out to the full. In Jesus' name. The right people. Today's scripture. Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? Amos 3:3. The word crutch is used to describe something or someone we may rely on short term to help us get through a period of challenge, just until we heal or get by on our own. The term takes on a bad connotation when used to describe someone whom we've become unnecessarily dependent upon, usually to the detriment of our physical, mental, or emotional progress. One of the hardest things to accept is that God brings some people into our lives for only a season. Maybe a mentor, a teacher, or a friend to help us through a certain stage of life or a difficult time. If God didn't move them away, we would become too dependent. Instead of helping us, they would limit our growth. Just as God brings people into our lives, He moves some out. You have to recognize when someone's part in your life story is over, whether individually or as a couple. When a person walks away and you think you can't get along without them, that's God saying, it's time for you to go to a new level. Don't try to pursue them to stay beyond their usefulness. Let them go. Your destiny is not tied to them. God will always bring the right people into your lives, but unless you let the wrong people walk away, the right people will never show up. A prayer for today. Father, thank you that we can submit every relationship in our lives to you. We trust that you are connecting us to the right people and removing people who are no longer tied to our purpose. Give us wisdom.